This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories of local legends in the Australian running community that you've simply always wanted to hear. In this new spin-off series, Road to Noosa, Paul Goulet, Brooke Williams, and myself, Ollie Jones, join the podcast to discuss our training leading into the Noosa Runaway Marathon Festival in May. With Brooke and I in the half and Paul in the marathon, we discuss all things training weeks, nutrition, footwear, mental strategies, and everyday life surrounding our running leading up to the event. We hope you enjoy this spin-off series from the regular Local Legends in Running podcast interviews. Alrighty, Road to Noosa series, episode 4 on this series as part of the Local Legends in Running podcast. It's Sunday, 5th of May, 1:12 p.m. For a bit of context. I welcome the usual co-hosts, firstly, ladies first that is, to the four-time 10K Australian Champs competitor in the annual 10K Zatopek Champs that is. That's Brooke Williams down, I think, in a home suburb of Baruga.
Yep, I'm here. We're here 1 month later.
That intro is getting slightly longer and better each time, I think. I'm trying to anyway, G it up a bit. But you're running well, and we'll come back to you shortly because I also welcome Paul Goulet, our other regular co-host. I'll call him Queensland's fastest running personal trainer, I reckon. And I was out there this morning with him to see that as evidence in the Brisbane Roadrunners Club half marathon champs. So we sit here about what, 7 hours after the event ish. Paul, how are you feeling?
Yeah, pretty cooked still, to be honest. Yeah, I've come straight back home. I've sat and done a bit of work, and yeah, I've not really done my sort of usual refueled and feeling pretty tired. So yeah, pretty cooked from a tough morning, but that was fun at the same time. So yeah.
Yeah, it was good to get out there with you. One thing I forgot was to bring a water bottle. This event doesn't supply water, and that's a COVID sort of a hangover, so to speak, in the sense that you've got to bring a water bottle every lap to take that if you're taking gels or if you want water at all. So I didn't drink for, I warmed up and cooled down, didn't drink for 25K. So it really hit me towards the end. But I was with you, Paul, for about 8K, and my plan was just to hang on to you for as long as I could, preferably longer, but 8K was enough today at about 3:36 per K, and you kept that going, I think.
Yeah. It seemed like fairly early on. There's a little park sort of started to sitting around about that sort of 3:34, 3:35 per K, and I was just trying to stay off the watch as much as possible and just try and run in that little park, and like there was a few surges here and there. And yeah, I actually run with a handheld bottle just for that reason. Like I didn't really think about what was going to be on course or if there was going to. I just thought I'd just go and be self sufficient, and I just ran with the handheld and had the race belt on as well with a couple of gels in there. So I had a gel before I started, and I had two gels on course, and then just had water. Only had 500 mils of water, so yeah, by the end I was pretty cooked. So yeah, definitely need to take on a little bit more fuel when it
Yeah.
gets to the longer event at Noosa. But yeah, then tagged on an extra 10K at the end, which was very tiring as well. Just like getting that sensation and tired legs. Just yeah, the body was just spent by that stage. But yeah, good training because you get that sensation of how it's going to feel at the back end of a marathon. So yeah, all in all, a good morning out. And I think I ended up doing 1:06, high 1:16s for the half, which was 3:37s in the end. So a little bit
Oh.
disappointed to fade away like just in that final lap. But like I said before we came on, it was a tough solo slog in that. That's probably the last sort of 5-6 Ks. Dipped off a little bit, but yeah, all in all, a good morning.
Probably good for the marathon, because like that's how you will feel towards the end.
Yeah,
Possible you'll be on your own.
that and
So
that's it as well. Like Noosa's not like a big event, so if you're out in the front, yeah, you're probably by those back stages, those last 10 Ks. There's not going to be many people around you, well, not many people around you running that pace anyway. So
yeah, it shows how
yeah,
important
running
packs
past
are.
people probably.
Yeah.
You're hopefully still running past people at that stage, yeah.
Yeah, but a tough course. You've got to turn around, what, 8 times, which is unlike a regular fun run. It's usually one big lap or you turn around once.
Oh, it was just hairpins.
Not well,
Yeah.
not well, yeah,
Well,
technically, yeah.
it is really, yeah,
Oh,
but
I thought it was, I'm imagining like a loop.
no. So it is like it's just that out and back, yeah. So you do have
Oh, okay. Yeah, that
different
is
time,
hard.
but
It makes a difference.
I didn't find it too challenging. I thought like you still get enough. I mean, it's 2.5 Ks where you got a chance to open up the legs and get into a comfortable rhythm.
Yeah, that's
It's
true.
not too
Yeah.
bad. So, but yeah, I mean, obviously, if you're
Yeah.
running without those times, it is a little bit better. But yeah,
Yeah, but that, yeah,
I
that
wouldn't.
coupled with this time of year, a bit warmer, not fully fit yet or tapered, not mentally there. But you know, most people don't focus on the half marathon champs. The winner, Kieran Perkins, for example, won that pretty comfortably, actually. You know, it's a great training run, it's a great club event, but to run it
Yeah.
as your main event for the year would be a stretch for most people. And I personally found that mentally tough, knowing at some point I was going to pull out. And from about 6 or 7K onwards, I was thinking, when is that going to be? But
Yeah.
yeah, what about looking back? It's been about a month, actually, Paul and Brooke, since we did our last podcast. That's my son calling out in the background. I'll fix him up in a second. But yeah,
You
what's been
can't
happening in
hear.
the last month in lead up to now?
For me, it's been I've spent a lot of time in the gym. I've actually started doing a lot of stretching in the last. I went and seen a massage therapist about nearly 3 weeks ago. And I think I've mentioned before I've had like sort of glute issues and through the piriformis, and it was actually pushing on my sciatic nerve. So I got a bit dry needling done there, and was basically told that I'm very tight, like. Just tight in general, certainly through the legs. So, to start in, incorporating some stretching through, like basically daily. So, I've been trying to do at least maybe somewhere between sort of 15 to 20 minutes twice a day, and just focusing a lot of stretching through the piriformis, stretching through the hamstrings, and then trying to include a lot more sort of plyometrics because I do have the tendency to Achilles to do kind of flare up from time to time. So just being a little bit more disciplined in that aspect. So certainly spent a lot of time in the gym doing that.
The pliers are good to get that spark back.
It is,
You know,
yeah.
when you do a lot of long distance, you lose a bit of that spark.
Yeah, and it's you feel better for it. You just yeah, physically and like yeah, you're just conditioned better for it. And you
You'll be
know
fitter, yeah.
it's one of those things where you often get into a groove where you do something and you start to feel good, and then you kind of, because you're feeling good, you, oh, I'm going to run more. So you kind of neglect that sort of like strength, or and then it's you get a little niggle or something flares up and you're like, oh, why didn't I keep doing
Yeah.
that? So I constantly say that to clients, is like you need to just, and then it's like I need to remember to do it myself. So yeah, I've definitely been more
Yeah.
diligent with
Be
that over the last
disciplined
few
on it.
weeks. So
And it's
yeah.
low impact, isn't it? That hangover from the actual movement of it isn't great, like running at all or running a hard run. That plyometrics almost like strides in a sense that it, you know, strides are fast, but they're the quantity of it is small, like plyometrics. It looks like you're doing more of the body weight plyometrics, like jumping and bounding and leaping 1 foot.
Absolutely. And it's all that sort of, it's all like functional movement that you do when you run anyway. So if you can just mimic that and just get used to that sort of like that single leg walk in the gym, then it's going to benefit you heaps when you're out there doing your easy runs or your harder runs. So yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of
I was just going to say, just then they're leading into the more the running side of things is I've been concentrating on a lot of sort of shorter, sharper sessions through the week, doing like sort of minute on, minute off, trying to get like down to sort of around about that sort of 3 minute K pace, just really putting in hard efforts. And then come the weekends, I've been gradually sort of building up the long run. And I think I did 3 weeks ago, I did a 12 kilometer effort within the long run. I think I did 28 k's all up that day. I did one loop, like I found I was up the coast, so there's a 12 k loop that I've run quite a few times up there. So I just did the first k easy, changed into the marathon shoes, and then did 12 k, just ran to feel, and then just had an easy cool down afterwards. So and then leading into last weekend, actually I did 36 k's all up last weekend. And I did I did 3x2K at the beginning of the session. And I was actually running with a client. He was aiming for a 10K PB. So I thought I'll throw that in as part of my session. So I jumped in. He jumped in with me for 10K, tried to run around about sort of marathon pace. So it's 3:45 to 3:50s. And then had a little bit of a break between and did 3x2 towards the end again. So it was actually good because like when I then see how I ran this morning, I was running a lot quicker than I was like last weekend. So it's just that gradual increase in the intensity, if you like. So whether I'm where I want to be, like 3 weeks out from the marathon, I don't quite know. I think I might have to accept that my goal might change, but you know, so we'll see what the next 2 weeks bring.
Do you find just being in a race environment though this morning with people around you sort of can give you that confidence that, you know, yes, I can do it to a degree, even though, you know, potentially you may have wanted a bit quicker. And Brooke will probably talk after you about some of her lead up races. Like, do you think racing is important before the big race?
Definitely the benefits of running with others at a similar pace makes it a lot easier than being out there solo, especially for someone like myself. Like, I do a lot of stuff on my own, so when you get the opportunity to run with others, it certainly feels a lot easier. So yeah.
And how's your nutrition been in training for those long runs? Have you been practicing with any particular brand?
I've sort of been just been like playing about with it. Like this morning, I just ran with gels instead of any drinks. Like, I just only had water. So I'll do a long run again next weekend, and I'll take some drinks with me. So I've been training with Tailwind a lot the last sort of probably 3-4 months. So that was like leading into the ultra as well. So I still undecided exactly what I'll do for Noosa. Try to think last weekend, what did I do? I think it was just gels and water. And I run with salt caps as well, just little salt tablets. So I find that they help with cramping. So again, that was just something that I started doing this year in the lead up to the ultra. And that was really good. But that was something I was actually talking to Brooke about through the week. Was
Yeah, I was going
to
bring that up. Yeah.
Practicing your nutrition at race pace, because like when I was running in Noosa Ultra, taking on the nutrition there was easy, and I was trying to take the salt tablets this morning, right, running at 3:30s, and it was just like so hard trying to like pop them in. So yeah, it's just like, again, that's why you try all that though, and if it's not something that's like impossible, but I probably need to look at, is there an alternative?
Do you think the hardest part is the breathing? And because obviously your breathing rate is way higher. And also, do you also think it's because you're moving a lot more, so it's like a lot more dynamic and harder to get down?
I find it's like, it's almost like it's like you're moving along, you're really smooth. And then as soon as you try to like you know, I was trying to get like a gel out my belt, or I was trying to get the salt tablets out the. I just had them in the little handheld bottle, so there's a little zip on the side of it, and I was just getting them at that. And it's just, you could feel like the heart rate's going up, and everything just feel the intensity just feels harder, and you're almost anxious that you just want to get the nutrition on, take it, and then get back to your rhythm again, and everything it just throws you out, and it might only be for 30 seconds, but it throws you out in that moment. So yeah, you're looking just for that smooth transition of being able to take your nutrition on and not have to get anxious or worry about it too much. So yeah, certainly things to consider over the next couple of weeks and dialing
It's
in that
almost like,
nutrition from Noosa.
so yeah, that little heart rate increase, and it's like a stress that you don't want. It's like a controllable that you can control with practice,
That
but
is it, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, everyone else is going through it, but if you can try and master that in some way, I know some runners like to sort of chip away at the gel, you know, hold it in hand and go at it for sort of 10, 15 minutes. Whereas I prefer just to down it as quickly as I can. But yeah, all runners have to work out that process, don't they?
Yeah, you
And
certainly do, yeah.
hard thing to mask.
Yeah. And moving forward, 3 weeks to the big day, guys. So how's that going to look for you, Paul? Particularly, we've got 2 weeks out next weekend. What does next weekend look like for you before the taper begins for the marathon?
Yeah, so like this week I'll throw in a session. I'll probably just have one session this week. Lots of just like I say, I'll continue doing all the strength and the stretching in the gym. This morning I actually felt okay through the glute. When I've been running like high intensity, that's when I tend to feel it a little bit more. So that felt good. So I definitely need to keep on top. Like I was saying before, when you start to feel good, you really need to keep at it, sort of type thing. So that'll be the structure through the week. Easy running, I'll throw in a session midweek, and then next weekend. I'm undecided yet. I want to see how I pull up after today. See how I feel like sort of Monday, Tuesday this weekend, whether I'll do a session next weekend or whether I'll look at just time on legs. So yeah. Okay. I didn't plan on doing the half marathon championships this morning. I actually wanted to do a long, easy run yesterday morning, and then just for whatever reason I seen it come up and I was like, oh, you know what? I'd probably get more benefit from doing that. So just had an easy run yesterday and then did that this morning. So yeah, I'll weigh up whether I do a session next weekend.
Okay. And how about hydration? How do you usually hydrate out on course, and what's your plan for Noosa?
Yeah, so I've got a handheld bottle. I used that this morning,
Oh,
and it's in like a sleeve, and I used that when I ran GC50 back in 2021. I think that was the end of 2021, and I've got two of those sleeves, so I could always like I'll have Alice. She'll be at the sort of start to finish line, so I could pretty much get away with sort of running out one, coming back, and then just like have her ready to pass me the bottle, and then she could then fill the other one up ready for me coming back around again. So that's one option that I am looking at, and I am thinking if I can run with a sports drink of some kind, whether it's Gatorade or whether it's Tailwind, whatever, then I could just use the water on course, and not have, like I was thinking of it more that way, because I think it's pure nutrition that's the
Oh, yeah, saw that.
that that's what's on course, and I use pure gels, but I've not used the fluids, so I probably won't go down that route on marathon day. I'll use my own
I
fluids,
find
but.
that harder to get down rather than like having your own bottle. Do
Yeah,
you feel
yeah.
the same? Like, I just find the cup so challenging. I've tried a million times, but everyone says to hold it sort of like you squeeze it so it becomes like a really skinny oval. And
Yeah.
then, but I just can't. I can
How'd you
get
go?
maybe like 50 mil, I reckon.
You should definitely try like the mini poppers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I
Yeah,
need to
because
put that out.
how'd you go with the sauce bottles?
Freaking terrible.
Yeah.
It was like it was more like the lid that like is attached on top that just kept like hanging around the top.
Yeah,
So
right.
like I was trying to like like put in my mouth, but then this other random thing was just hanging around and I was just like, go away.
Yeah,
So I
yeah.
could put a different lid on top or just cut it off, like cut the little like thing that makes it stay there, and then just throw it away. Like, do you know what I mean? The topper.
Yeah,
it was okay. I did feel like there was too much air in there though. Like, it, I couldn't get like a clear stream. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think definitely the poppers, because again, like if you're using like cups on course, you tend to only like get half it down, whether it's because you only drink half it or because you spill half down you. And whereas with the poppers, you can just and you carry it for a certain distance. You might run with it for a kilometer, and you're making sure you're actually getting the full content of that in, rather than just like we say splashing half it down you. So
yeah, I think that's the key. I think you've actually just got to be like, okay, I'm going to try and get this down within the next 500 meters instead of trying to think, just get it in immediately, because that's when you stress out.
Yeah,
you just
exactly.
hold it. Like, that's what Brett Robinson and a lot of other marathoners do. They just hold it and just try to just remain, keep the pace, but just, getting it in slowly,
Oh, well, very good. And taper, how does that look for you too, Paul? Like, how far out for the marathon are you sort of declining the volume and intensity? A week and a half-ish?
Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I sort of had a bit of chat with this with Andy this morning when we were doing our sort of 10K after Roadrunners. And like, he's on like incredible mileage at the minute. He's around like 160, 170K a week. So, whereas like,
sorry,
for me,
is this Andrew Clark?
No,
it's
no,
Andy
okay,
Green.
Different person.
Yeah, different person. But
Andy Day.
I was obviously doing that mileage earlier than a year. So now I think this week I've done about 106. Last week was 108. So my volume's sitting around about that sort of averaging 100Ks a week. So I don't feel like I'm going to need to taper too much, because like previous marathons I've been up at sort of 130, 140Ks a week. So I think the next couple of weeks, I'm probably just going to try and keep it at that high end, like try and hit 90 to 100. And then obviously race week, I'll drop it off and just lower the overall volume, keep some intensity in there. And so, yeah, I won't actually taper too much and just, focus more on, probably just making sure I'm carb loading that final week and backing off a little bit. But the next couple of weeks will remain much the same.
Yeah, good, good. Any other questions, Lauren and Brooke, before we head to you?
No, sounds good. Sounds like you're all over it.
She's just keen to talk about her. What, you've had three events in the last month or so. The at Ballarat, you ran a couple events there, run the 10, and over in New Zealand. So I'm honestly forgetting the order of those events, but how has the racing been?
Yeah, good. So I think last time we spoke, I was leading into the half marathon in New Zealand. Yeah. So I got there on the Thursday. And I always find it hard to fit in like the extra runs you need to do when you travel. Do you find it the same? Like, cause you're just trying to like get to here to there. And there's a few times, like I just pulled over the side of the road, found a random paddock, and just, it was the worst paddock ever. but I feel like you just got to like, just get it done.
That was when you got up early and did your run before you went as well, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I deliberately posted on my Instagram. I said, will she get up and do the 10K? Like, because the treadmill was in my parents' garage. And I deliberately did that because I knew I didn't probably want to do it. But I always feel good getting on the plane knowing I've done something. So I was like, I did it. So I started that run at like 3:55 a.m.
You knew that was your accountability, didn't you? When you posted that was your accountability. You knew, like, as soon as you posted that, I was like, I'm doing this now.
Yeah. And someone messaged me and said, I just can't believe you started the 10-minute turnaround from your alarm, because it was a 3:45 a.m. I think alarm. Yeah. And then I was on the treadmill at 3:55 a.m. So they're like, that's the most impressive part. But yeah, I did that. The race was awesome. It was very not very competitive at all, which I think was great. That's probably what I needed at that point, because that was 6 weeks post getting back to running after my injury. So I feel like it was just like the most perfect event to do after that. Yeah, like a bit of a stepping stone. It was just like a 10K loop that I had to do twice, and it was pretty hilly. Like towards the 7K of the loop, there was like a real downhill, not sharp, but just like, then there was a huge up. And then when you turned around and came back, there was sort of like really sharp, like up and down. So it wasn't the fastest course, but I just originally that week I was thinking about just doing the 10K because I had done my first 2 hour long run. Cause you know how I said I was going to do a 6 week block and then taper and do that race and then do another 6 weeks before Noosa. But I decided to make an 11 week block and just go through. So I was still feeling like pretty heavy in the legs. So I thought maybe I'll just do the 10K and try and switch. But I got to the race and I couldn't switch. So I was like, I'll just do the whole thing at threshold heart rate. So that's pretty much what I did. But I accidentally forgot my gels. So I had them in my bag, but because I thought I was going to do the 10K, I just didn't like double pack and then double think to pack. And I got there and I'm like, oh, they'll have gels there. Like I'm just thinking like Australian fun runs, how there's like gels everywhere. They're basically just throwing at you. Like there's heaps of, you know what I mean? I just assumed that that's what it was like. I got there and there's zero gels. And then when I was on course, I was like being a bit assertive and direct towards the people. I was like, any gels? Like yelling out, trying to find a gel.
That's what
and then
I
some lady yelled back. She's like, no. And then my mum went around to all these people asking for like a random gel. About half an hour into the race, I was like, oh, I really need one. And just some guy, because some people were doing a marathon, I could see they just had the big packs on, the vest. And this guy was coming up and I'm like, he'll have a gel. So at the very last minute, I was like, mate, do you have a gel? And he just quickly passes me this like Pola Endura gel. And I'm like, thanks. And then
lucky.
Because I like to take something every half an hour. The next half an hour, which is coming up around an hour, my mum had orange juice and that's all she had. So I was like, that'll do. I took a couple of sips of that and then just kept finishing. But I ended up doing the whole thing. I think I averaged like 175 heart rate average, which was about, and then the pace was about like 4 or 8. So I felt like that was pretty good. And I was just happy to like get the win. The next second place, because there were so many turnarounds, I could see second place and she was about maybe 2Ks back. So it was a pretty easy win, but it was just good. It was just good to like get it done. And but yeah, totally different environment to say like a Melbourne Marathon or a Gold Coast or something. Like it was just not as busy. And I was talking to some people there who are Kiwis and they said, oh, most of our fun runs are sort of like this. It's not maybe Christchurch and some of those marathons are a bit bigger, but there's generally not that massive boom like Australia is. You can't even bloody get an entry at the moment to anything in Australia. It's just mad at the moment. Yeah. So that was really fun. And I was able to run the next day too. So I did 60 and 60, 30 the next day. So it was just like a hard threshold, I guess, just for that effort. And then the next week, I got back to training that week. I did a good session. I did 8x1K and finally cracked like 340s. So I got into 330s. So I was really happy with that. And then I decided to, I had a last minute entry into run the 10. Cause I was meant to do a threshold and I was like, threshold suck on my own. So we decided to, I messaged the guy who runs run the 10 and I said, oh, do you have any entry? And then he put me on the poster for it. And I'm like, I'm not in shape for it. Yeah. Like it's like Lauren Ryan, Abby Caldwell, and then me. I'm like, thanks for that. But that was really good. I end up averaging, so it's like a 4K loop and it's basically, have you ever done the 10?
No.
I've never done it.
It's basically like the first K is like flat, then it's very sharp uphill for maybe 500 meters and then it's basically all downhill. So it's actually a really good run. And then I averaged, I think 334 for the whole thing. And my best K was like the last K. I was sort of coming home strong for the last K. But I really suck up hills. Like two girls passed me on the uphill. There was only 7 in our race. It was a very small field. And that two girls caught me, but then I caught them on the way back down. And then after that, I just decided to do a lot of running groups in Melbourne. They do this. They usually do a threshold called Two Bridges Threshold. So there's like a bridge. I don't know the name of the roads, but sort of like near Batman Avenue where Melbourne Marathon starts. But you can do this sort of like 1.5K loop. That's just really nice and flat. So I just decided I had 3 minutes break and then did like a threshold heart rate for another 6K. So it was about 10K effort all up. So yeah, that was another fun weekend. I actually met Billy Brownless. Remember how I said, yes, I feel like I've been like him?
Yeah.
This is so funny that I actually met him. I'm like, hey, so we got a photo, and like Riley got a photo with him. And then there's another influencer that I follow. I think she was like a Miss Australia or something years ago. Olivia Molly Rogers. She was there too. So I got a photo with her. But they put on a really good event. That was awesome. Like as soon as I got to the VIP area, it was like a picket fence and they're like, do you want a coffee? I'm like, yeah. And they had all this like awesome food, like all these baked goods and muesli and stuff. So I said, the lady who runs it, I said, I'm definitely coming back next year. It was really good. And Hardy and Riley got to come in. So yeah, it was a really good event. And then, yeah, the week later, I decided to do a little bit of a taper before because I had Ballarat coming up. And I was going to do the 5K and the mile on the Saturday. And then I was going to do, I have a client, Ebony, who she's 19 and she was running the half and she's been working really hard for the half. So I was going to plan to do the half is like a little bit just of a long run and then do some events on the Saturday. So I didn't do a session on the Thursday, just jogged. I've still been doing 2 hours every week as my long run on the Tuesday. So I've just been trying to keep that consistent. And then yeah, Ballarat, this event is awesome. If you ever get the chance or you're just looking for a marathon 1 year, it's well worth it. It was so well run. I think a business who usually does cycling events actually ran it because I was surprised how good it was. Knowing it was their first event, they had 4,000 sign up and then I think heaps signed up on the day. So but it was just yeah, really well run. They had like a commentator and just yeah, it was good. The thing that sucked the most was there was a 1 kilometer hill. So when you actually get we got like a pamphlet that showed us like where the run is. And it was, you look at it, you're like, oh, that's flat out. It's like, this will be fast. But there's a 1 kilometer that's just all uphill, like up the main street of Ballarat. And I didn't realize this until I got there. And then I also thought that everyone would be mass participation. So I thought like the elites would go off first and then they'd have, you know, first, second, third of male and female coming over the line with everyone else behind. But the mass participation went first and then we went after them. And then only in our field, the women's field was 7. And then the men's, I don't know how many was in there, but it was really small fields. So that was a bit nerve wracking because I was like, I don't even know where I'm at over the 5K. But I ran into, do you know Olga Fasora? Do you know, she's up your way.
Yeah.
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 So she went. Yeah. And I've seen her a few times. I think I met her first at 5K Nationals a couple of years ago, but she's so lovely. And so we warmed up together and everything. And then we both said that we were going to do the 5K and the mile. But yeah, this race like didn't go well at all. I like the first K up the hill was so tough. And then I assume because I prefer the downhill and I can get rolling on the downhill, but it was almost like the uphill was so tough that you were still recovering on the downhill. And the downhill didn't do the same loop. You sort of had this little bit that went out that had a tiny another little hill in it. So you won't really feel like you were getting a good run because you were still sort of recovering on the downhill. You just never felt like you got that break in, you know what I mean? And then the very last bit before you turn around and got the hill again, it was almost too downhill. You know when it's too downhill that you sort of need to put the brakes on? Like you can't lean forward and go. Yeah. So it just was hectic. So I ended up finishing the 5K in 18:36, which I thought I was in about 17:30 shape. But if you consider the hill, like later on, I was like, oh, that's probably on par for where I'm at considering that hill. But you know how sometimes when you just have a race, it doesn't go the way you think and you sort of just you're in a negative space. You're like, oh no, I never want to run again. And like for like 10 minutes, you're like, never again. But that's what I did. My mum was just like, I don't know what to do. She's like having a meltdown. But then luckily I ran into Olga and she was like, I was so grateful that she said the exact same thing. She just looked at me and she's like, what the hell was that? She's like, that was terrible. Because she's like a 15 minute runner, I'm pretty sure. And she ran 16:40. So I guess when you look at it, yeah.
Like yeah, it might have been years ago, but yeah. Something.
Yeah, but I think she's in that shape. And because Zoe Buckman, she's run 15 in the 15s as well recently, and she won in 16:20. So when I looked at those results, I was like, that's pretty relative. Like that makes sense. But yeah, it was comforting to know that she felt exactly the same, because I couldn't find her after the race. But then when I did, she's just looked at me. She's like, "What the hell was that?" And then I was like, "Oh, thank God," because I felt exactly the same. And she had the same thought. She's like, "I'm not going to do the mile. That's the first thing I thought when I crossed the line." And then we started cooling down and warming up again, because it was about maybe an hour and a half before each race. And then we were like, "Oh, let's just do it. Let's just do the mile." And then the mile had only five girls in it. That was actually better, I think, because we didn't have to go as far up the hill, and then we had more downhill, and it was obviously shorter, but that was way better. So I ended up doing the mile in 5:28, which I think average, I did my first K in like 3:14, which is the fastest I've run since my injury. So I came last again, but out of the small fields. But I was like, that's still a really good hit out. There's no way I would have done that at home. So yeah.
Did you plan to do both? Really, or was that just a decision to do because you were traveling?
Yeah, I did plan. I signed up for both. Yeah, I originally was going to do the 10K on the Sunday as a threshold, but it was at 11:30, and because mum was babysitting, it was just too hard to fit it all in. And it was at the end of the festival, so I just thought I'll do the events on the Saturday and then just jog. But then I woke up Sunday and there was no way I was running. Like, I was so sore. And I don't know about you, but I really struggle to, if it's a race longer than like an hour, I really struggle to travel. Like, I just get migraines, and I'm too tired to travel. And I had a 4-hour drive. So I was like, I'll just go out and watch Ebony. But even watching was so motivating. Like, it's just something about watching the marathon finish, like just piling in one after the other. And, you know, someone's like got so much emotion, and just watching the winners and stuff. And yeah, just all the girls finish like the full marathon. And the best thing about that weekend was the crowd was amazing. Like, it was for the 5K and the mile, there's people everywhere. I didn't even have a bib that had my name on it. But they were saying like, "Go Brooke," like people at every section basically, except for that annoying out bit. But yeah, so that was really cool. And you could feel that on the streets as well. And I think Mona, they've just done such a good job. Like, it was a really good event. They should be so proud of it. And I hope it'll definitely like continue on, I think. But yeah, so that was that. And then I found out about my iron. So yeah. I just decided to get a routine blood test, because I was just actually watching ABC News, and this doctor was like, "Oh, COVID can deplete your iron stores," because, and he was explaining how the role of iron can be used in some way more often when you are sick with COVID. And that just like, I was just like, And then, cause I've obviously not been feeling myself since I had COVID. And I had an iron infusion 6 months ago. And the reason I stopped taking my supplement and everything was because my iron was in, ferritin was like 233 last time I had it checked 6 months ago. So I was like, "I'm right. I'm right for the whole year. Like, I don't need to take these supplements anymore." Idiot. But it was so high. I'd never been that high in my life. So I just didn't forget about it. And then I just quickly got a blood test. I get all my blood tests done through just an online doctor. It was so easier. Like, I just do it all online and then I just go straight to a pathologist. Then the next day I got the result and it was back down to 30. So I had somehow rapidly lost 200 milligrams of ferritin within 6 months. And then, yeah, I put that up on my Instagram and so many people were writing to me. And these, do you know Rachel McGuinness? She's a good marathoner. Yeah. She's actually a doctor as well. And she was really helpful. She just said it happens to her as well. I reckon I had about 25 women, and some are like dietitians and stuff as well, saying, "Yep, happens to me. I've had to deal with it forever." Another guy like Richie Egan, he was like, "I have to get an iron infusion every 3 months. Like, it's just because of the running." So that was really interesting. I just didn't think that it could deplete that fast. But I feel like every time my iron's low, I'm like, have you seen that meme of that girl? And she's like got the maths equations in front of her.
Yeah.
And that's how every time I have low iron, I'm like, I'm that girl. I'm like thinking back to all these events, all these sessions. I'm like, oh no, that's why. So yeah, I feel like it's a hard thing to process, because you're like, oh, I was trying to make my body do something that like it wasn't healthy enough for, you know what I mean? So last time it was low, I just decided to go straight to Melbourne and get an iron infusion, because I could book in straight away. That's a good the good thing about this doctor that I go to. And so I did that again. Yeah. So I did that on Friday, just, yeah. So 2 days after that, I found out, I was like, just go down, just get it done. And then, yeah. So, but I think it usually takes about, when I look back on my Strava, it did take me about 5 or 6 weeks to actually feel all right after the infusion. So, yeah, I just have to sort of like think long-term. And I did notice that a few days after the infusion, I didn't feel right. I felt a little bit sick. I think my biggest indicator, if I know that something's wrong, is like when I wake up in the morning. I don't know if I wake up and I'm sort of like feeling good and can't wait for the day, I feel like that's one of my biggest indicators of like overtraining. Because if I'm waking up and I just want to go back to sleep, I'm like, something's wrong. Do you guys have anything like that?
It's me every day for the baby.
But I feel like that's one of my biggest clues. Like I just, yeah. So that's been happening the last few days. And I'm like, okay, I think, yeah, your body just must be inflamed. I don't know the science behind it, but after an infusion, just don't feel right. Cause I tried to actually race this morning and it was not fun. So,
yeah, what was
I just,
that about? Like through the hills, a bit of elevation there and 11K or something total.
Yeah, so it's called the Nail Can, and the first K is pretty flat, and then it's like a really steep hill for the next 2K. I went like 6 minute pace. I think I went 6:06 and then 5:41, because you're just putting one leg in front of the other. Like there were so many people around me who were just hiking. Yeah, but it's just like really hilly, and like the terrain is like really rocky and stuff. But I was meant to do a session anyway. So I was like, I'll just go over there. It's only an hour and a half from where we live. So I just went and did that. But yeah, I could definitely feel that infusion, just not feeling that healthy. I was glad to just finish, to be honest. but yeah, so I've decided to do the full as well. So that was before I knew about the iron. But yeah, I think it was actually the drive home from Ballarat that, and just watching everyone finish. I think I just had this moment. I've been wanting to do like a marathon for ages. I think, I don't know, I feel like this whole training block, like even when we started recording the first podcast, I've just had these like full circle vibes recently. I just feel like, I don't know, like the marathon was something that I did that got me into running. And I've just done so many things recently, like a lot more treadmill training after my injury. And I don't know, I have this feeling inside of me that's just like, you just go and do it. Just close your eyes and jump and just give it a go. Cause I've always wanted to do it. And I think like I've just had coaches in the past who have been like, no, you should run X, Y, Z time before you go out and tackle the marathon, or you need to do this and that. And I just think if I just keep thinking, you know, about all these things I need to tick off before I get there, I'm just never going to do it. So, and I think I've done two hour long runs, and I've done a lot of threshold, and I think I'll be able to handle it. But yeah,
I think you've been running some good mileage as well. So it's one of those things that, like, do you wait on the opportunity to come, or do you take it while it's there, sort of type thing? And I think, yeah. I don't necessarily think you need to like look at it from the point of view like, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. It's like, it's not like you're jumping from like running 70-80 Ks a week and then suddenly like, I'm going to start upping the mileage and I'm going to do a marathon. Like, you've got a good base there, so I don't think there's any reason why you shouldn't be taking this on, to be honest. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And I think the thing was too, like, I thought I was going to run at Gold Coast, but now because Bonza has shut down, it's really hard for me where I live to get to like up Queensland Way now that Bonza is shut down. So that sort of threw my whole year out. So when I looked at after Noosa, my next race won't be for ages. And this block just gone, there's just been heaps of races. Whereas after Noosa, it quiets down. So I just thought, well, considering that like I probably won't get another chance to do a proper, you know, event for ages, why don't I just do the marathon now? Yeah. And it's good too, because like my family will be there. And yeah, I just thought, we've done this podcast and stuff, and I was just like, why not? Like I think I've done enough. Sometimes I feel like you just have to go for it. So yeah, here we are. But I did my first 2-hour 40 long run on Tuesday, and I was definitely regretting it at a bit. I think it was 2-hour 15 mark. You know, when you're into your long run and you sort of getting a bit wobbly and jelly, I had that, and I'm just thinking, what are you doing? Like, what? Why did you decide this? But I got it done, and it's good. But I think that's one of the most challenging parts, I think, about tackling the marathon is just getting like that time on the legs. And I think also, like, I think for me, one of the most challenging parts will be staying focused when I'm so tired, like thinking about the fueling coming up and trying to stick on pace. And I think sometimes like there can be so much like negative inner dialogue that when you're feeling so bad, but even though it could just be a wave, like, and you should probably just expect it. But yeah. I feel like those long runs, they definitely train you in that way, like to get through it and to keep persevering.
Yeah, I think with time's not important too, isn't it? Like if you can run a similar time, but it can be a whole lot slower, then your body's getting used to that length, that duration.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I've got my last session before that will be, I've got a half marathon in Mansfield, and it's pretty low key. So I wasn't sure whether I was going to do like a session or whether I'll just try and do the full half marathon at marathon pace. I think I'm going to try and stick with you, Paul. I'll probably die. But
if you
go at it between 3:45 or 3:50,
Hey, what did your poll get? You put out a poll about what pace you could run the
marathon. Oh, yeah, I deleted it because everyone was like,
I put about between 3:45 and 50 pace, and it said to me that was the most common answer.
Yeah, I deleted it because I was like, I don't like these answers. It's going to get in my head. I don't know. I have full belief that I'll run, or I believe I'll run 2:45, but I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a little bit sad about this one because we were in the half together, and also because I reckon your half marathon can come way down at 81 minutes. I think you have ability to run sort of that 1:17:18 mark at least.
Yeah, we never know. I still might.
And it's funny, starting year two, you were like, oh, I love the, I think I questioned your half, might have been the conversation we had on the regular podcast, and I questioned your half marathon looking a bit of an anomaly in the PBs, and you said, oh, I love the shorter stuff. There's something just that doesn't sit well with me for the longer runs, like the half marathon. Now you're running the full.
I just need a lot more work, I think. Yeah. But I don't know. I'll get there one day. I'm gonna do one after this block, I think, and try and get that down. But what else? Oh yeah, so I'll practice my fueling when I do the Mansfield half marathon. And I think I'm gonna go stick a gel on each, because it's every 10K, isn't it, Paul, that you can pick up your personal drink. So I'll drop personal drinks off, and each one will have a gel on it. And then I think for 35K, I'll make sure the gel is caffeinated. So I'm gonna go sports drink gel. Yeah, so the next the week prior, I've got the Great Ocean Road Running Festival, because one of my clients is running the full marathon, and it's 44K instead of 42. And she's been doing really well. So shout out Ruth. But I'm gonna go watch her and go camping down at Apollo Bay. And there's a 6K on the Saturday. So that'd be probably a good last hit out before the marathon. And then I usually decrease the load by about 60-70% the week of. Obviously the long run, I do it on a Tuesday anyway, but I wouldn't go anywhere near 2:45. So I've got two more 2:45 runs, and then 8x1K sessions. And then I've got that half marathon to practice the marathon pace. Then that 6K will be the Saturday before the marathon. I'm just hoping that this iron and a taper and a carb load will just get me enough over the line. And yeah, it'll be good enough.
Hopefully it all adds up. You're running really well the last few weeks. It's like really come on quickly, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I just can't wait until the iron kicks in, because that's usually the biggest indicator is if you can't hit paces or your heart rate's just super high on what is usually quite an easy pace. So now it's just making sense. So I just can't wait until, if I could get those 1K reps down to like 3:25s, like I think I'll be right to go, and hopefully threshold heart rate just, I could go a lot faster for the same heart rate. Yeah. So yeah, excited.
Very good. No final questions from you, Paul.
No, it's been good listening to all the training you've done and the racing in particular over the last few weeks. So, yeah.
No, that was very insightful. And I got most of it, about 85% of it, after shuffling around with my son here in the background and literally heading off from the computer. So I'm not sure if the listeners would have recognized that. But there you go. That's the truth with sometimes being a host or being on a podcast. But yeah, I'll get to my running in the last month. There's nothing too outstanding from my end, but one event that's stuck out, and Paul will know about it here in Brisbane, is the Nunda Criterium Relays. And essentially, it's a crit track that they facilitate this event on. And that's almost always for bicycles, for cyclists, and for their racing. But they close it off with this one-off event on Anzac Day as well. So the event actually involves, you know, the old last post and the acknowledgement of those who, you know, fought for us and for all our freedoms now. But basically how it works, it's a relay in four or fives, and you run for as many laps as you can in 90 minutes. And essentially it's one by one. The rest awkwardly is about 15 minutes long. So, you know, if you're a half decent runner out there, most people do not rest in intervals for 15 minutes if they're a middle distance runner. Maybe if you're training for 400s or 800s, maybe, but that's such a long rest, isn't it?
Yeah, that is long.
That's kind of weird in the sense that you've got to keep moving in between your rep and make sure that you're sort of back around the track to actually take over from your previous runner. So the crit track backs onto what they call the Jim Sawley bikeway. So you can sort of run up there and back in between a rep. But yeah, a few times I thought, oh, geez, I've got to get back to the start because I thought my runner was up. So as long as you know who's running before you, you're fine. But
how many did you have in your team, Ollie?
Yeah, we had four for a couple of days leading in. Then we found a fifth, which was very fortunate to be in that boat. And he held the team pretty strongly. And we're all pretty consistent. We have one younger, this is part of the Burt squad, again in Brisbane. And he's a young guy who was a few seconds ahead of us on each lap. But I just couldn't think I could run that fast. 3:03 pace average for 6 by 1.2K reps. But it's because you can rest for so long. It just gives you hope again as an older runner that there's some speed there in the legs. And I've never really had much speed, but it did get me to question, what could I run for a 1K time trial? Because when I started to run again many years ago after playing rugby union for a number of years, I did a few time trials about sort of 7, 8, 9 years ago, and I could never crack 3 minutes for 1K, yet I could hold a 3:03 average there for 6 by 1.2K. So,
dude, that's really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just shows you that the aerobic is the main component. Like,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's also the sense that, like, I don't think I'd be much quicker either. So we're all sort of running on this real edge of breaking apart. You know, I'd be 2:55 at best, I reckon, but I'm averaging 3:03. So you have enough rest to feel there's no aerobic impact whatsoever on the next rep. It's purely, you know, the body starting to fall apart or energy. So if you're taking gels and stuff and you've done enough volume in training, then you can survive it. But yeah, I was pretty pumped up about that. 1 or 2 seconds quicker than last year. And I did say that incorrectly. It was 5 by 1.2K to get 6K, not 6 by 1.2K. But yeah, I was pretty proud of those efforts. But 2:40 was the pace, 45 even. You need to be at the front of the faster runners there that day. So pretty remarkable. And it's building. It's basically filled with gazebos around the half of the 1.2K loop. And with supporters on an afternoon. It's not a morning event, which is pretty rare too in Australia or Brisbane to have an afternoon event. So you're hanging out all day to get there. And there's something about relays that makes running exciting. You know, you're there. Really is a team. Yes, you can join a team for a fun run, and you know, cumulatively you might add up to some kind of result for the team in the end, but it's a very much an individual pursuit running, unless and Brooke, further down your way in Victoria, I know the cross country inside running boys talk about it a lot. Seems amazing down there, the relays, but there is something about it. Have you guys done many relays before?
You go, Paul.
I've done that crit track one once. I think it was maybe, did I do that three years ago? I think I did it as part of the South. I used to run my group South Pine Stride, sorry, South Pine Striders. And we did that one time down there. But it's interesting what you say as well. Like you're running as part of a team, but it's a team within a team. Because like obviously with the BERT squad, there's so many BERT runners. So like you've got like four or five, and it's you can the gazebos are up. So we were the same. I think we maybe had two or three teams that day with the BERT. And then I've been involved as a coach as well. So we had a run call group there. One, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, we did that with the run call group, and we had those guys running as well. So yeah, it's quite a fun event. It's like you say, it brings everybody together, and it's a fun afternoon.
Oh yeah, it's definitely different relays. You've been in any relays in running, that is, Brooke?
Yeah, with Athletics Victoria, Athletics Victoria is so competitive. It's really, really good. But yeah, I've been in a few. The one at Gels, there's one at Sandown too, which is like a, it's a track I think for Formula One drive, like the cars. Yeah, so it's like all flat and all road. That's a 6K. But yeah, they are good. I feel like it's just you're in that motivating environment. It's just really good. Yeah, you just want to run fast.
Oh yeah, and all the tunes cranking, in the background. Then you finish your rep, it's high-fiving, and you chat about how your rep was, and then you get out, start moving again, get ready for the next rep. Then you're all of a sudden lining up for the next guy, and it is like you were saying, like that one, Brooke, dead flat. You're on asphalt. It's a crit track. It's proper road material in the super shoes, so you can't get a faster environment in so many ways. So yeah, such a great event, and a lot of fast running.
Have you ever done any track events, Ollie, down at Cusack with the relays?
Not really what wise,
No,
no. Yeah, just
no.
the individual
I've
events, so.
done another one there. That was maybe, I think that might have been 3 years ago as well. We did a 3x1K. Just interesting what you said there, like where you're running like 3:03 average for 1.2. Like what can you do for like 1K? And I think we as a team we averaged maybe 2:48 or 2:50. For the 3x1K, but it was like I was fairly new. Like I'd done a little bit track stuff before that, but not racing. And when you're running 1K, you kind of need to pace it. But I was like, I think there's
Yeah,
a
because it
video of
feels
me, and
so
it's
short.
like, yeah, I look like I'm running 100 meters. It's just like I'm so fast off the block, and yeah, just away. And it's like, hold on a minute, here you got to like do 2.5 laps around this track. So, but again, it was quite a fun event, just running as part of a team with two other guys. So yeah.
Oh yeah, very quickly, what
It's
could you
fun.
guys do for a 1K straight then, do you think? Would you be sub 250, Paul, for a 1K?
I reckon that's probably the quickest 1K that I've probably recorded was that like I think I'm sure it was like 2:48 around that day. So yeah, I don't know if I don't know where I'd be right now for 1K. But I reckon I'd probably struggle to break 3 minutes for a K right now. But
Yeah, well, Brooke can beat me over 5K, so surely she could put it to me in a 1K time
I
trial.
think the fastest I've done was at the World Cross Trial 2K I did, and that was 2:55. But I struggle to get faster than that.
Wow, that's
But I
amazing,
have
eh?
done my best 200s are 30. I've done a 31-minute 200, a 31-second 200. And I've done, I think my best for the 400. This is in a session. It's like 68.
Yeah, you'd be faster than that in a one-off 200 for sure. You'd be well under 30.
Yeah, this was like 8x200.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Pretty
But yeah, I
quick.
like,
But yeah, they've got to somehow really G that event up, I think. Try and get more groups out there because it's the running's booming here in Brisbane and Australia, and they're the kind of events that are going to get people in. Get the food trucks there, get supporters there, get more
Absolutely.
groups, and make it as
Yeah, that sounds
exciting
fun.
as you
Yeah,
can. I'd
especially
love
that
to have a
public
mile
holiday.
or 5K there. Imagine a 5 and 1K, sorry, a 5K, Paul, sorry, and a mile
Yeah. Well,
events
we've spoken
in the
about
one-off
that
event.
on previous podcasts where they do the Podium 5K in the UK. And yeah, an event like that, like running around that crit track would be perfect. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, other things that have been on my agenda, School Run Club actually is part of the staff here at Nudgee College. Teachers being out there on a Wednesday afternoon. We changed the it was running Thursday mornings. You might remember me talking about it months ago on a Thursday morning. I'd head out with some staff, but we moved it to Wednesday and it's booming. It's like there's a mini run boom in the college of Nudgee, and it started with two and now I think we hit seven. So we're looking to grow it, but it's very, very much social. We last Wednesday, for example, we'd run 6 minute 30K pace, and not to sound arrogant at all, because I'm way down the list in terms of fast runners anywhere, you know, but 6 minute 30 pace, I never run that pace at all. You guys will probably admit the same thing, running that kind of pace. I was actually sore the next day by running 6:30s, because I think it just changes your gait a bit, but
it does. It completely throws out your normal running stride. So yeah,
it's strange, isn't it?
Slow is, yeah.
You would think going that slow, but I think, do you think it's maybe because you're doing more steps?
Yeah, more steps, more time. Let's not forget about that.
Yeah.
And probably likely more heel striking, as opposed to, I very much land flat footed, I think, when I strike.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it is different.
Yeah.
Just not natural to you. So that's the biggest thing, isn't it? It's like,
yeah. I once did blind running. So I was guiding someone who was blind, and they held onto a little rope. Yeah. So they were doing the Great Ocean Road Marathon, and I think I did the second half of it. Yes, yeah, so I got to finish with him. But he was running that pace too. And I was so surprised the next day, because I was like, oh, you know, walk in the park, it'll be fine. Like, it'll be good. And he was running between 6 minutes, 6:30. Yeah. But it's funny, because you assume it would be walk in the park.
Slower, the easier. But it did get me thinking about what's the ideal easy run pace. And I think if your breathing and heart rate's under control, you can definitely have a conversation with someone, then it's slow enough. And for, I think, you know, you guys have probably agreed too that it fluctuates on depending on the day. But for me, it tends to be anywhere between like 4:45 to 5:30, depending on that. So when you talk about 6:30, it's a bit of a far cry from that, but it's all about the social nature, I guess. And I'm driving the thing, so I'll definitely attend one lap 5K at that pace, and we do another lap around campus a little bit quicker. So that's been really good fun. What's been a challenge though for me has been the daycare situation of bringing home certain viruses in the last month, and the wife and I have been really sick. I think I've spoken in the last two episodes with you guys about being sick, but this has been the worst. You know, the real, you guys are both parents, the real grind of like 3, 4, 5 hour sleeps, not just for one night. It's okay, I will get sleep the next night and hope for the best, and it happens again. Then it happens for like almost 2 weeks, and it really, really brings you down. And Brooke spoke about how you wake up in the morning the other, about half an hour ago, and it's almost bad every morning, but you got to get through it. And if you want to stick to your mileage, you do that. For me, it's really just backing off the intensity. So I try and hit the mileage each week, but if I've got a session plan, I'm just falling apart because you're both sick and tired. I just, the first step is to hit mileage and jog. And then if I need to, I'll just cut that mileage down and still try to jog unless I'm really sick. But it did get me thinking about if you guys had like a measurement or a yardstick, so to speak, of where you're too sick to run at all. Is it purely based on feel? Is it like, you know, they talk about head symptoms versus chest and that kind of thing either?
Yeah, you go first, Paul. I want to hear what you
say. I mean, I suppose I don't know. Personally, I like touch wood. Like I don't in this household, like I'm probably the one that gets least sick. So I don't know whether that's just good immune system or what. So I've never, there's definitely been occasions where I've felt, I can't run today, but I could probably count on one hand, and I've been running for putting the nine years now, and I can count on one hand the amount of times that I've not run because I felt sick. So I guess I've probably been fortunate in that regard. So I can't really give too much of an input into that, whether it's like, if you're feeling it, and I've definitely heard that, like whether you feel it in your chest, you feel it in your head. But again, my advice on that would be like, it's no different to anything else on like how your body feels. Like if you pull up sore from a run the day before, you're going to take it easy. So if you feel that sick that like running's not going to be good for you, then pretty much listen to what your body's telling you. Like, again, that's cliche probably, but there's not really much other input I can have on that, unfortunately.
I feel like it's one of those things that like you just can't avoid. Like I've asked professional athletes about what they do when their kids get sick and the whole family's sick, and they're just like, we literally just put our earphones in and just ignore pace and just get the work done. So like, do you know Jen and Ryan Gregson? Because they've got Archer. Yeah. And like we just get it done, but we hate life. So that's what I do. I literally I put like a sticker over my watch so I cannot see pace.
Mm-hmm.
And I just press start and I literally just go by feel. And I just do whatever I can to get through it, like music, or I might even just like do something random, like go to a run club, just so I've got, well, not if I'm obviously really sick, but I don't know, like I'll just do what I can to just get through it. And drop the intensity so low that, I just sort of get the Ks done without worrying too much about intensity. Yeah. Because it's just one of those things. I've got heaps of clients who their kids get sick heaps and there's nothing you can really do to get around it other than, just get through it and just like focus on getting healthy again and trying to avoid. I've started to do things like on planes, like I wear a mask now. I've started carrying around like antibacterial like cream. What's it called? The hand sanitizer.
Sanitizer.
Like every time I go to do pickup at daycare, I use that before, after. Yeah. Basic health hygiene. It's so hard.
Yeah, and the hard thing is too, like running makes us feel better. So it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? You run, even if it's a jog or a hard session, you still get that endorphin kick and that sense of being productive running-wise. But then later in the day or whatever it is, you can feel then bad again. So that cycle continues. But it's different as a parent in the sense that the cold might last usually a week, but like I think I've been sick for 2 or 3 weeks. You know, nothing's really significant, but that's honestly every day waking up fatigued, stuffy nose. The cough got pretty bad there for a bit, and coughing's probably the indicator for me that if it's a really bad cough, then I probably won't get out at all. But usually when I'm lying down, and like the last week I've been sleeping through the night with a sore throat. It's just sore when I wake up, which is the usual thing as a parent to a 4-month-old that you wake up at some point and I feel a sore throat. I wake up and it's almost gone.
Yeah.
This has been happening for a very, very long time. So it's hard to tell if it's a new virus or is the virus continuing.
It'd
be great to have like a pathologist in your house to give you a swab each day to see what's going on before you head out to the big bad world.
No, if it's safe. I also thought too, you know what? Garmin should have a mode, like a ghost mode, where you're like, I'm sick, just don't go off at me for being unproductive. You know what I mean? And then you could just like, it just wipes out all paces. Like you don't see paces. Like you see the stuff you at the end or like it uploads to Strava or not even. But I feel like there was a ghost, wish there was a ghost mode that just knew that you were sick and just like, okay, just you're just getting this done. Like just forget about any productivity. You know what I mean?
I often don't believe what Garmin tells me anyway.
Yeah,
so.
I'm not a big gadget guy, fortunately.
No.
I was this morning by accident. It told me, Paul, that I was running. I know, you know, that performance gauge when you've in any run, it just pops up. I hate that. Like, let me be the decider of my body. And I didn't feel great this morning either. But it told me I was on the highest score this morning. It was like +8 on that scale.
Yeah. It's funny that one as well though, because like I got the same thing. Like I think I only had +4 or something this morning, and it hits that early in the run. So it's like, well, if that's the logic here, should I just stop now? Because my condition is great. Because by the end, I think I went -4 when I was doing my cool down. So it's like, well, but I'm actually getting good training, good benefits from that. So like.
I don't think it works for runners.
Like I don't necessarily
too self-conscious.
Like I think people get too involved in what those stats show you, and it's like what are you supposed to do with them? Like -4, I might as well just stop. Like that's a mentality like that. Yeah, I don't want to look at that and gauge off that. I just want to. Yeah, I know I was struggling towards the end, but I had more benefit from keeping going, to be honest. So.
Yeah. And like I had a once and nearly every day it was like red, do not run, red, do not run. And I'm like, what am I meant to tell my coach? Like I wake up, oh, hey, I can't run.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like orange and it was like, be careful. It's like, I think with running, it's different. Like you've got to be consistent to get better at running. So you can't
well, do you guys ever go into like your workouts and see what the suggestion is for the day?
Oh yeah.
I do that almost every day, and every time, just for a laugh, yeah. And every day that I have a session planned, it tells me to rest. And every day I've got an easy run planned, it tells me to do a threshold.
Oh, this is why you
don't. And I'm just like, whoa! Yeah. But I've kind of been swayed by, oh, that actually looks like a good session, and I've done the session. But yeah, I always just go in just for a laugh and just, I wonder what's going on today. And yeah,
I feel like though, like experienced runners, they sort of have that inner like knowledge anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's something that Garmin is telling us. We sort of already know anyway. Like we talked about, Ollie, with waking up, being tired. Like I think we all have our own personal indicators that go, oh, crap, something's not quite right. But I feel like maybe at the beginning, if you're a beginner, you would maybe look at those things and you'd be like, oh, I'm not quite sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. things have changed for me in the next few weeks. We've got our GPS cross country event between all the schools coming up in a week and a half now at the traditional limestone Park and Ipswich hilly course that they run on there, 6K for the older guys, 3 to 4 for the younger. And that's a Tuesday afternoon. So once that's finished, I do intend to get back to the Burt squad on a Tuesday morning. It's difficult though, working up north now, whereas before I was traveling south to work to my previous school on the way to work in the morning to Burt's, and didn't have a baby either to look after. So we'll see how we go with that. It's a bit easier for me on a Friday to get to their threshold in Kianawa Park. I think I've spoken about that, across the Gateway Bridge there, about 10-minute drive versus 25 for a Tuesday, which is pretty much these guys run threshold at 3:20, and I can just do a session based on 3:20 pace anyway, because that's my 5K PB pace. So I'm looking forward to that. And I'll probably bang out a big session this weekend, hopefully. That's a half marathon long run session on Saturday or Sunday, likely at least a 3x5K. I'll have to do those kind of workouts beforehand at goal half marathon pace. If I can find someone from Burt or that I know local that would be in a similar ballpark, I'll grab them along. But otherwise, I'll just practice that pace solo and hope for the best. So I did try that, actually, talking about sickness last weekend. I lasted 500 meters and I was meant to do 3x4K. And I lasted 500 meters. That's how bad this sickness has been. I think I said to you guys, my voice had almost entirely gone, and it's been affected in some way, my voice, for about a month. So hopefully we stick clear of the illness in the next couple of weeks before Noosa.
Yeah.
Yep. Sounds good. It's gone quick.
It's gone quick. Yeah, 3 weeks.
It has gone quick. Yeah.
And I think Paul and I are similar this morning. I think we've got a bit of hope from this morning's efforts. But yeah, I would have liked to have more longer efforts prior to this very point in time in my training, and the sickness and lack of sleep hasn't helped with that for me personally. I'm right on the edge of PBing this, I think. I think it's may have to be an effort close to 3:40s on the day. Again, I won't look at the watch. Like this morning, Paulie, I think about 7K in, he says, oh, Ollie, how do you feel at this pace? And I said, mate, I've got no idea what pace we're running. What pace is it? He goes, 3:34s. I said, no wonder I feel a bit gassed here.
Yeah.
Lasted another K or so and pulled the pin.
The thing is, because I was trying to stay off the watch as well, so I only done, I don't have the 1K splits coming up. I've just got the average pace. So when I said that, I just glanced at the watch and it was 3:34. But again, I don't know what the pace was before that. Or
if I knew I was doing marathon at the start, I probably would have done more marathon sessions, like you said just then, Ollie. Yeah, I probably, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do Sydney. So after this one, I think it's 16 weeks between both, but I'm definitely going to do more specific work. Like you just said, like start off with the 2K efforts, then go to 3, 4, and do some, stick at that 2-hour 40, I think, for the long run. But would have liked to do that more for this one if I knew that I was going to do the full, but
yeah.
It'll
give you a benchmark at least if you're going to do Sydney. So,
what's that?
I'm saying this will give you a benchmark. So,
then
you can sort of use this leading into Sydney. So, yeah,
definitely.
It's good to do one because then you know where your weaknesses are too. As much as it hurts, you can be like, oh, I definitely need work here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it'd be great to talk a week out from the event, mainly about race plans. It could even be a shorter one. Let's at least aim for it. Usually it's one of us, normally me, that cancels it because of my family. But I think a week out would be great, if not a wrap-up one after the event. And if listeners do not hear from us before the event, please let it be known that we tried. And hopefully we do get that together. And yeah, Brooke and Paul in the full and myself in the half. So it's getting exciting. And yeah, we'll just see how the next few weeks go, eh?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Unless any listeners, like if you got any stuff you want us to cover leading in, like carb loading or just general stuff, planning for the race, that'd be good. Chat about that.
Definitely. You can always take on the Instagram DMs or any messages. I'll try and put up some content to engage the listeners too with some questions to see what they think about certain things in the next few weeks. So keep an eye out on that. And Brooke and Paul are a bit more intense. Maybe intense is not the right word, but more active on social media than I am as a podcaster. So it's always good to follow both of them and to keep up to touch with what's going on. So thanks for your time again, Brooke and Paul, and we'll be in touch.
Thanks so much, Ollie.
Perfect. Thanks, Ollie.
No drama. Thanks, it's my pleasure. Have a great afternoon.
See ya.
See you guys. See ya.
If you enjoyed listening to this episode or the Local Legend In Running podcast in general, please jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thank you.